the American Lung Association has given Suffolk County a failing air quality grade. Trevor Summerfield from the association says that despite the poor local reports, lower national ozone levels will benefit Suffolk soon.
When it comes to future reports, we're going to see Suffolk County with less ozone days. But in the current time frame we're in, we still need to remain vigilant and active in trying to reduce those unhealthy air quality days in Suffolk County.
Summerfield advised residents with respiratory issues to stay inside on poor air quality days. Fairfield County in Connecticut also received a failing grade. In fact, the county had the highest ozone readings in the eastern U.S. You're listening to After All Things, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region. Two Nassau detectives are among the first to be investigated under a new state unit. A Connecticut bill would look into the double taxation of businesses on tribal territory. And spring marks the return of much of our region's wildlife, including amphibians. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garon. Two Nassau County police detectives are being investigated after a federal judge found they lied on the witness stand and unconstitutionally strip-searched a Queens man in public. As WSHU's Charles Lane reports, these are among the first investigations of a new statewide police investigation unit.
Local and state law enforcement agencies are investigating two Nassau County detectives, Robert Galgano and Daniel Concannon, after a federal judge found that they illegally strip-searched a man, then lied about it on the stand. Allie Frick is a lawyer for the Queens man the detectives are accused of illegally strip-searching during a traffic stop. She says her office was contacted by the state attorney general's unit charged with investigating police misconduct. This is one of that unit's first known investigations.
That they were examining both the incident of the strip search and the trial during which the officers who were involved in the strip search testified falsely.
The Nassau DA's office also said it is reviewing all active cases involving the detectives. The Nassau County Police Department said claims of an investigation are inaccurate, but did not offer details. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
A Connecticut legislative committee has drafted a bill that would look into the issue of businesses on tribal territory being double taxed, including vendors at Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun casinos. WSHU's Maria Linders has more.
Mashantucket Chairman Rodney Butler says the tribe provides its own services to non-Indian-owned properties on tribal land, and local governments should have no right to tax. He called this tax policy racist and unjust.
It's a very clear and apparent injustice that does not happen anywhere else in the state of Connecticut. And if it were to happen, I mean, you guys would be all over it, you know, claiming, you know, screaming from the high hills to address it. And so, again, the components of the working group, absolutely. We've been in conversation. We should be at the table having that conversation. The municipalities have a real economic issue.
This bill would establish a working group to address double taxation and Indigenous sovereignty concerns. Maria Linders, WSHU News.
Governor Lamont initiated the first Blue Ribbon panel on childcare today. The panel will outline an actionable five-year plan that supports families, childcare providers, and Connecticut's economy. Lamont says he wants Connecticut kids to get the best head start in life.
I said it a million times, and I'll say it again. I want Connecticut to be the most family-friendly state in the country. I think it's the right thing to do for our kids.
The panel will meet monthly and submit the final plan in December. Does this sound familiar? You've probably been hearing this sound a lot this spring. Find out what it is after headlines and a message from our supporter.
Support for After All Things comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
Hofstra University is suing Nassau County over a lack of transparency surrounding a proposed casino that would be built just across the road from campus. The university claims the County Planning Commission failed to give the public advanced notice about a March 3rd public hearing on the proposal. The Las Vegas Sands Corporation announced earlier this year plans to build an entertainment destination, including a casino in the Nassau hub. Body camera footage from a botched police raid in New Haven has been released. Last week, New Haven officers broke down an innocent woman's door and handcuffed her by mistake. Police had a warrant to arrest 35-year-old Tim Yargo on child pornography charges, but instead they entered the wrong apartment where Stacy Wisenter and her two children were asleep. Wisenter has filed a federal lawsuit claiming the officers unlawfully searched her home and violated her rights. Nassau County launched a new website to help find more firefighters following a drop-off in recruitment. In the past decade, the total number of firefighters stationed in the county decreased by 40%, from close to 10,000 to around 6,000 members today. Spring marks the return of much of our region's wildlife, including amphibians. Experts say, although they're some of the area's tiniest creatures, human encroachment on their habitat is creating a big problem. I've got the story. When you think about the arrival of spring, there are probably a few things you look forward to. Birds chirping, flowers blooming, maybe bears coming out of hibernation. For Tim Abbott, a conservation director with the Housatonic River Valley Association, it's the mass migration of amphibians.
The first warm spring rains in usually the middle of March are the signal for a range of amphibians to emerge from hibernation. And if they move in sufficient numbers, if the conditions are right, we call it a big night.
In northwestern Connecticut, the first so-called big night this year for salamanders, frogs, and toads happened on March 23rd.
And I have never seen so many salamanders in one spot, and I've been looking for 20 years.
In early spring, these tiny travelers will leave their underground homes to find vernal pools. Those are small, shallow bodies of water filled by rain or melting snow, and without water flowing in and out, they make a great place for these animals to breed. But Abbott says connectivity has become a big issue.
In between where they spend the winter and most of their life cycle under the leaves upslope in the forest, and where they would like to breed, are roads. And they have to cross them. So the sad part of this story is you see a lot of carnage because cars hit them. And I got out early enough so that I was moving the first of them. But after an hour, they were more than I could carry.
That's why Abbott believes it's important to bring more awareness to amphibians.
You can't just save one place and say that that species is fine because they use a mosaic of habitats. That little vernal pool at the bottom of the hill is very important for one part of the breeding cycle, but the forested upland on the other side of the road is where they're spending most of their time, and what's in between is the gauntlet that they run.
One amphibian that's particularly at risk is the eastern tiger salamander, getting up to 13 inches in length with dark yellow spots. It's an endangered species in New York State. According to the State Department of Environmental Conservation, they're confined to Long Island, with only about 90 breeding ponds being identified in recent surveys. Frank Quevedo, executive director of the South Fork Natural History Museum, says that's because of overdevelopment in their habitat.
The Long Pond Greenbelt and the east end of Long Island, a lot of people think there's a lot of rural habitat, but it's being overdeveloped slowly.
The museum was recently awarded a $30,000 grant from the Holloman Price Foundation to track the salamander's movement through the preserve over the next 3 years, a first-of-its-kind study on Long Island's east end.
We need to get trained to implant in each tiger salamander a small transmitter. And then next year, when it's breeding season again in February and March, we'll go out and implant the transmitters into the adults. We're going to try to find out by tracking them through radio telemetry what areas around their breeding ponds that they utilize.
The preserve is made up of 1,900 acres of wetlands and coastal plain ponds, making it one of the most biodiverse ecosystems in New York State. Quevedo says the goal of the study is to inform state and federal officials about the potential environmental impacts of building development there.
There's still a lot of unanswered questions, such as, you know, the transmission cables under the preserve.
Utility company PSEG Long Island has proposed laying an underground transmission line between substations in Brookhaven and East Hampton, part of which would run right through the Greenbelt.
What is the electromagnetic field and the vibrations going to do to other animals in the area, such as snakes and turtles and other salamanders, because they are sensitive to vibrations?
Quevedo believes the company is vastly underestimating the amount of area these salamanders utilize, and he hopes the study will prove it.
They had said to the public that they only use 500 feet around their breeding ponds, and I truly believe they utilize way more than that. I think they use more than 1,000 feet.
There's no word on where that proposal stands right now, but Quevedo says the potential for development in the area is super concerning.
They are a food source for other animals, such as herons and raccoons, but they also oxygenate the soil. By living underground and creating and living in these burrows, they oxygenate the soil, which we use for farming.
But in addition to informing developers, Quevedo hopes the study will educate the public about an animal they might not have realized was in their own backyard. For all the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or anytime online at WSHU.org or with the WSHU app, which has a brand new look. So if you haven't downloaded it yet, be sure to check that out. After All Things is supported by Hartford Healthcare. And just like everything else you hear on this station, After All Things is also made possible with support from listeners like you. So thank you. I'm Sabrina Garreau, and have a great rest of your evening. Talk to you tomorrow.